Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of the Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. So please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
Charles Rosen got the idea from his piano teacher, Moritz Rosenthal. Moritz Rosenthal got the idea from his piano teacher, Franz Liszt. The best way to practice a difficult passage is to play it repeatedly while reading a book. Preferably a not very demanding book.
That's what Liszt advised Rosenthal to do, and Rosenthal advised me to do that. Just read something, just keep playing it without even thinking about it, and eventually your fingers will do it for you.
Rosen was a young boy when he studied with Rosenthal, one of Liszt's outstanding pupils and later a world-famous piano virtuoso.
I was supposed to see him once a month, but I always saw him twice a week because I had twice a week lesson with his wife, and that she always said, go in and amuse the old man. And so I would go and play for him. And he was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, though I was 11, 12 years old, and, you know, he was this great pianist who studied with Liszt, and he knew Brahms very well and Johann Strauss. And he never said I was wrong. He would say politely, I have a different idea of this piece, he said, and he would go to the piano and start. And he didn't talk about technique. It was very famous. One of the most incredible techniques of all time. But I understood his technique by watching him.
So he watched, and somehow the sheer physicality of Rosenthal's technique was passed on. It imposed itself on the young Rosen. Rosen has thought a great deal about the physical and how it affects the musical. His new book, Piano Notes, is about the experience of playing the piano.
Well, I mean, there really is a purely physical pleasure, independent of the sound of playing, because the actual contact with the keys means the note to you, even if you don't hear it. So you're actually feeling the music.
Rosen has been known as a writer about music for decades, having had great success with his books Sonata Forms and The Classical Style more than 30 years ago, and many other books since then. Lately, he's been writing about the piano and some of the things we may take for granted about it, what a pianist wears, how he or she sits, how the movement of a pianist's arm may affect the way an audience perceives a performance, how a concert program is constructed, whether you begin with Haydn or Chopin, and so on. Actually, it was Chopin that started it all. Rosen was already an established pianist when his record company brought out what was then his latest CD, and in the liner notes they described a Chopin nocturne that staggers drunken with the odor of flowers.
I thought, that's not the way I play it. So I thought in the future I would write my own record notes.
Which he did. Since then, there's been a kind of outpouring of observations, analyses, deconstructions, and insights in book after book. He loves to write about it, and he loves to talk shop. On stage fright.
In German, stage fright is called footlight fever. On November 3rd, I have to do a recital, and I'm going to walk out frightened, too, and you always do. Even the greatest soprano I ever heard, Rosa Poncel, they had to push her on the stage.
Charles Rosen on technical difficulty.
The Brahms Hungarian dances were originally written for four hands, and then he arranged them for two hands, and they're unbelievably difficult. I mean, it's just terribly hard to play. Almost nobody plays them because they don't look hard. You've done all this work and nobody realizes how much you're really doing. The music that we like to play is the music which looks hard but is not that hard to play.
Rosen on the subject of critics.
One of the few times that I totally disgraced myself in public, I was really hitting wild wrong notes. And I mean, if there was a note that was really in evidence, I hit it wrong, you know, like you cross your hands and hit a note up there and bang, it was the wrong note. And I got a review in one of the Boston papers that Mr. Rosen is the greatest piano technician I have ever heard. So I remember speaking to Seymour Lifkin about this. He said, well, of course, he said, if you didn't hit any wrong notes, they wouldn't know it was hard. That's how they know you were a great technician.
Charles Rosen on interpretation.
Some aspect of the piece is betrayed on whatever you're doing. I mean, you can't get everything out of a piece of music in one performance. So something is going to disappear and you have to make a choice. There's a wonderful poem by Marianne Moore about artistic creation in which she said, ecstasy affords the occasion and expediency determines the form. And if you really feel ecstatic about a piece of music, then you found the most expedient way of producing it for other people's pleasure. The original feeling is something. We do capture some of the original feeling of the music whenever we do it. You do get a little bit in contact with Bach and with Beethoven when you're playing their music. Some of it comes through. That's why one considers them great.
This weekend in New York, Chris Williamson's Rock Hotel Piano Fest opens in various intimate venues around town, a six-week series of low-priced concerts by classical pianists of every description. It's a moment when Rosen, and every pianist alive, I suspect, is watching and wondering what it all means for the future of classical music, with its famously dwindling demographic. Intimacy certainly seems to be part of the issue.
A great deal of what we think of as the piano repertoire was never intended to be played to an audience of more than about 30, 50 people. And so, I mean, the idea that people say, you know, classical music is losing its audience. It isn't losing its audience. It just doesn't grow as fast as pop, you know. That putting it into a market economy, which is basically what's happened, it doesn't work. Now, the question of how much will it survive, I mean, I can't believe that the music of Beethoven, Chopin, Bach, all this, is going to completely disappear. It'll probably keep on. You know, I'm not sure how it's going to be resolved, but it's not going to be resolved by trying to make this a sort of market thing. You have to keep it surviving, and you love the music, so you want to play it, and if you want to play it, you find an audience, and you will actually find a way of making a living at it, which is what we all do.
Charles Rosen's new book is Piano Notes, The Hidden World of the Pianist. May it come out of hiding for good. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.